Sing out, Lucille. Welcome to the Ricardo Project. Let's talk the operetta. Hello, my beautiful Tropicanas. Welcome to the Ricardo Project, the podcast where we watch through I Love Lucy episode by episode and talk about its historical, emotional, and comedic impact. My name is Dana, and I'm so happy that you joined me today for episode 5 of season 2, The Operetta, which premiered 70 years ago today, October 13th, 1952. October 13th also happens to be my wedding anniversary. Happy anniversary, honey, if you're listening. Before we get started, this episode of I Love Lucy used a term that is no longer appropriate to use that describes folks of Romani descent. I'm going to say Romani and not that word, but I'm not going to address that incorrect language use in my reaction because, to be honest, I think that it was just a matter of ignorance and a matter of the time, and I don't think that it really warrants like a broad-scale discussion. Necessarily, it's a word, you know, it's a term we shouldn't use anymore. And we know that now. So if you have opinions on that and the way that I'm choosing to handle it, I'd love to hear from you. Everything is an opportunity to grow. If you think that this should be addressed differently in this podcast, I would love to hear your thoughts on that and to address it further down the line. But that's how I've chosen to address this today. So without further ado, let's get into this very funny episode. So we open with the bad bitches up the Upper East Side Club. Their meeting is over. They're thrilled with Lucy, who shoos them out and is immediately cueing to the audience that she's very nervous. There's some nail biting. There's some hand wringing. Ethel comes in. She missed the meeting, so Lucy fills her in that they're supposed to put on an operetta later in the month, but Lucy knows that there isn't enough money in the club treasury. There's supposed to be like $250, but it turns out that Lucy has been basically embezzling back and forth between that and her household account and that there is no money. Lucy's idea is to save money by writing the operetta instead of showing one that's already written. She wants to do this with Ethel, who refuses until that Lucy says that Ethel will obviously be playing the lead, and then they'll loop in Ricky for a free leading man. So later, Lucy is working on the operetta. It's called The Pleasant Peasant. And she's already decided that now it only makes sense if she plays the female lead. And she tries to sell Ethel on this new part, Camille, who is a snaggletoothed old Romani queen. So Ethel rightfully points out that Lucy can't sing and that this is very unfair. So they kind of do like a mini audition and they both sing a little operatic scale to demonstrate their abilities. And Ethel completely kills it. And Lucy quits halfway through to admit that she needs to play Camille. So they move on to discussing the plot of the show. It starts out sounding pretty good, actually. But then suddenly there's like a gang of highwaymen and a kidnapping and 18 acts. And there's a prince who's been turned into a frog who has nothing to do with the romantic plot line. Ethel points out that this is going to be quite the production and that there's going to need to be a lot of scenery. So Lucy reveals that that's not going to be a problem because she's postdated the check for the scenery and costumes so that there will be enough money in the account when they cash it. This is like not necessarily a 2022 problem. I don't know anyone who uses checks anymore for placing orders like this. But back in the day, there were these things called checks. And this is how folks would pay for things. And you could post-date them. You could write like, you know, if today's October 13th, you could write October 16th. And they couldn't cash that check until that date. And so if you didn't have enough money, you could kind of fudge it. Anyway, next, Ricky is rehearsing. He's playing Prince Lancelot, and he's not treating Lucy's work with a lot of respect. He's kind of criticizing it. But Fred interrupts because he's tried on his costume, and he looks like a Greco-Roman, like, poor man's Aristotle. He's not in the innkeeper costume he's supposed to be in. So Lucy goes to sort this out, and Ricky takes this opportunity to tell Ethel that he's really worried about Lucy singing. And Ethel says not to worry about Lucy's crappy voice because every time she tries to sing, the entire cast is going to join in to keep her solos from ruining the performance. So it's the night of the show. And honestly, I'm just going to say from the top, I must be very biased, maybe as a former theater major, but this has all the trappings of a community theater production that I love. Like, I would gladly pay a $10 suggested donation to go to this show. I think it's adorable. I don't think the music is that bad. Good for Lucy. Like, she could write regional theater if this is what she's producing. So all the bad bitches of the Upper East Side Club sing a little off-key, but it's still cute. And it's middle-aged women playing these, like, young girls, which is very typical of community theater. And these actresses are doing such a good job of playing, like, inexperienced performers. There's one who's really hamming it up. There's one who misses her cue. There's one who's wearing her glasses with her costume. I love it all. So then all of our main Fab Four get a number. So Fred comes out for his. It's about being an innkeeper. We get this, like, great comedy where the Arts League members are terrible at blocking, and Fred, like, has to keep compensating and, like, moving around so that he can be seen during his solo. Then we get Ethel's number. She plays the ingenue very well. The song is super cute, and she has this, like, saucy showgirl ending where we get to hear Vivian Vance's, like, belting voice. And she almost has, like, a Judy Garland style vibrato. Like, Vivian Vance is very talented. And then Lucy shows up. She pops up in smoke and she stumbles in. It's honestly, Camille is the role that any character actress worth her salt would want. I want to play Camille. She is so fun. Lucy begins her song and is immediately shocked to hear everyone singing along with her. It is delightful to watch as she, like, angrily does the choreography. She sings her next song, and she lets the cast know that it's her song, but the girls won't let her have it. She tries to get ahead of them a bunch. Doesn't work. What I love about it is that the ladies have clearly rehearsed this, and they've turned the songs into, like, Greek chorus-style backup singing, which I think actually really works. Lucy obviously doesn't. She stops the song. She says she's just going to speak the rest of the lines. She tells Ethel's character, Lily, that a prince is coming to marry her. It'll be a terrible tragedy. Can't take place. Then Ricky enters as said prince. And then we get Ricky's number where Lancelot falls in love with Lily. The song is super lovely, super charming. You can see yet again that Desi Arnaz is just, like, so charismatic. It's ridiculous. Right as Ricky's song ends, one of the cast members, who has a lovely singing voice, by the way, she comes out to get Lucy's attention, and she tells her that the check bounced and that all the costumes and scenery are being taken away. And despite Lucy kind of sing-talking back to her and protesting, they come right on stage and they take the scenery away and the costumes directly off the cast's body. We get this really fun physical comedy scene where they just pull Ricky's pants off and he kind of stumbles around in his boxers. Lucy watches in horror until she decides that this is the moment to finally sing her solo as a true solo. And she does so as they carry the bench that she's sitting on off of stage. And that's the end of the episode. I fear that this episode is going to be incredibly short because I absolutely love this episode. I have no notes. I think it's great. The only thing I would maybe give a note on is that I think the song between Ethel and Ricky's numbers, like the drinking song, could be cut. But it's still a great physical comedy moment. I think the show, for me, one of the very best things that it does is any of the show within a show's episodes. I love when they really lean into how terrible Lucy is as a performer. Or just how Lucy can never quite succeed at being a great performer. Because honestly, when she's acting as Camille, she's excellent. It's only when she has to sing or the fact that she did something wrong with her check that this goes poorly. It's actually kind of a really fun little silly show. They play some of the lyrics for laughs and we're supposed to kind of think it's a bad show, but it actually plays great. And I just think this is a really tight episode of the series. I really love that they give an opportunity to Vivian Vance and William Frawley to showcase their skills. This is the other thing I love about this episode and what I love about the performance episodes. We see this again in, like, Mertz and Kurtz, which is one of my secret favorites. I like any opportunity that we get to see just how talented William Frawley and Vivian Vance are. And I particularly like it from a character development standpoint because it reminds us that Fred and Ethel are their own people who have had a very interesting and full life outside of their relationship as sidekicks to the Ricardos. It's episodes like this that feel like a true ensemble piece as opposed to a show about a married couple with their sidekicks, which has its place. Some of the best episodes are the ones about a married couple and their sidekicks. But I think for me, the chemistry and the relationship of these four performers is what's really special to me. about this episode and about a lot of the episodes that we really hold dear. I mean, I honestly think that that's one of the reasons why job switching is so successful. You know, it's very different than Lucy Does a TV Commercial, which are both classic TV moments. But I think Chocolate Factory kind of edges Vitamita Vegemin out because it features Vivian Vance as well. And then you've got William Frawley with his cake. And episodes like this really let them all have their moment. I mean, they each get a solo song. And I really responded to that. I think it's a really positive way to run the show. I think it creates really tight episodes that allow every single player to shine in the way that they shine best and brightest. We get a bunch of these where the Mertzes kind of get to step into the spotlight a little bit, or they get to showcase their things. Ethel's hometown is a great example of this. It makes for a fabulous final scene that is just delightful. And this episode is a wonderful pastiche of operettas of the era, which were all folkloric or fairy tale based in nature. It feels like something that the audience of 1952 would absolutely respond to because it was a satire of the pop culture of the time, Gilbert and Sullivan, for example. And for us as modern audiences, or at least for me, and again, this is where I'm concerned that my bias is coming through, it reminds me of like community theater, or it reminds me of, you know, everyone thinks at some point that they can write poetry or that they are worthy of having a podcast, oh God, cell phone, or that they are, everyone thinks that they should have a podcast, cell phone, I probably shouldn't. Or that they should make a YouTube channel, cell phone again, probably shouldn't. Or that they should write poetry or become a YouTube influencer. I mean, these are like our versions of these kind of creative outlets in 2022 post-pandemic. But I think it kind of lines up. I find a straight through line of like, your friend is creating a crappy project. It's not going well. All of their friends are in it. I mean, again, this could come from kind of being, you know, to quote Pioneer Women, show people, because my husband and I are both theater people who have degrees in performance. And so maybe it's just the community we run with. But to me, this was super relatable. And I think that episodes of I Love Lucy that are the best are the ones that are a little bit outside of reality, but that are rooted in something highly recognizable. And to me, this episode really fulfills that. So I know I've said it a couple times, but I really do have concerns that I'm a bit biased on this one. I would love to hear from you if you think that this episode is actually not that funny, or not that relatable, or whatever. Because for me, this episode's a slam dunk. I love this one. I would highly recommend it to anyone. If you're trying to get someone interested in I Love Lucy, I think this is a really fun one to watch if you don't want to show them one of like the big three. So with that, let's talk historical notes. So early in the show, when Lucy says that she and Ethel are going to write the operetta, she calls them, she refers to them as Ethel Romberg and Lucy Frimmel, and she calls Ricky John Charles Ricardo. And these are references to operettas of the time. So Romberg and Frimmel were both composers of operettas, and John Charles Thomas was a popular operetta baritone. So again, that kind of blurring of reality and, you know, fantasy in, with the show. The Lily of the Valley song that Ethel sings, she will sing to herself multiple times while she's doing housework in later episodes, and I love that. It becomes this kind of cultural milestone within the show. Speaking of Lily, Ethel's costume and her little pigtails were a parody of Mary Pickford, who was a major silent film star at the time and was the biggest film star of the era by far. Well, a little bit earlier, silent film, so like the 30s and the 20s. But still would have been very relevant to everybody watching. And then, I'm not sure if this is actually true, but it was written in an article of Newsweek. According to Newsweek, this was the first episode that Lucy Arnaz, Desi and Lucille's daughter, was allowed to stay up and watch. And she would have been just 14 months old at this time. So I don't know if she would have retained it, but she did watch it, according to Newsweek at least. So that's it for this episode. Super fast, super fun. Take a listen, take a watch. For October 20th, there was no episode. It was a skipped week. So next week, because there was not an episode, we will have a bonus episode. And but so you will get content in your feed. And then the week after that, we'll be doing an episode called Vacation from Marriage, which is really fun. And I actually have only seen it a handful of times, so I'm excited to watch it again because I don't really remember it. That's it for this week. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. It means so much to me. If you enjoyed this episode, please take the time to rate, review, subscribe on wherever you get your podcasts. Tell a friend about the show. All of that is very important and very meaningful to me. If you'd like to get in touch with me for any reason whatsoever, I would love to hear from you. You can reach me at theRicardoProject@gmail.com, on Instagram at theRicardoProject, or on Twitter at Ricardo_Project. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you next week with a bonus episode of The Ricardo Project.